We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered. It's time for the Midwest Outdoors with Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin. Brought to you by Reed Chevrolet, the Hearing Connection in St. Joe, the Sports Medicine Store, and Sportsman's Outfitters and Marine. Now, here are Fred Ramsey and Mark Tobin.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Tickled to death to be with you this Saturday. And every Saturday, I hope. We're still above ground. We're not room temperature. I am basking in the aura of my co-host, Mark Tobin, and one of the better fishermen that ever walked the face of the earth, Greg Thompson's in here.
He is.
Boy, yeah, he's day drinking, isn't he?
You guys like that intro?
Yeah.
You've done worse.
Yeah, that's very creative.
What's the lawn business like right now?
Growing. Oh, my gosh. The grass is growing so fast. It's horrible.
That's horrible.
I mean, you can almost finish mowing a yard and turn around and cut it again.
I did. Exactly what happened. I turned around and looked back, and I went, wow, have I got over that?
You know, we've always had problem ones that grow real fast for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, all of them, they're all growing fast. And we just, you know, you have to cut them two and three times, sometimes four times to get them to look good, and it just takes twice as long to get through a day. It's horrible.
What, I mean, anybody need to do anything to the grass right now or just let her go?
If you haven't got a crabgrass pre-emergent on, you can still do that. There is some just starting to come up.
Crabgrass, huh?
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh.
And nutgrass is just starting to appear. There's a little bit of spur. All of the summer weeds are starting to poke their heads out, so.
The bastards.
Right.
But that nutgrass is the worst thing you could have ever. Yeah. That stuff's nasty.
Oh, yeah, it's a pain. They're all a pain.
Okay, my illustrious producer, and we have scheduled something here that you guys, you'll be all right. We're going back to identify this bird. What's the sound of this bird?
The bird of the week.
Bird
of the week.
The word.
Okay, can you fly that one?
Everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner when the bird, bird, bird. Bird is
Here
a winner
go.
When the bird, bird,
bird. This is an easy one.
Sounds like gulls.
Sounds like geese.
Snow geese. What kind of geese is it?
Snows, blues, speckabellies.
Specks! Yay!
Mark gets a no prize.
He gets that belly button collection of lint.
That's about what it's worth.
I've been saving it up for a couple weeks now.
He's got
so.
It, yeah, our producer. You actually got it. See, I've given you that about three times now in your career.
Well,
the speckled belly goose. you finally got it.
Yeah.
You went snow goose. You kind of a wide brush.
I know, right. I just kept naming him until you said it was the right one.
Shotgun blast. Just bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. I come here mad. I'm madder than most this morning. I went up and planted corn, worked my little rear off. So I get up there, and I've got a couple weeks ago, I had 2,000 snow geese sitting in my cornfield. Well, that corn shoots sticking up out of the ground about a half inch. And them geese are walking down the rows and pulling it out of the ground. And they probably eaten, of the 40, they probably eaten 20 of it.
Oh, my.
So now I got to go in and replant the whole thing. Oh, man.
Yeah, that'll do it. And you can't even go out there and shoot them.
Well, it's illegal. Well, I don't know. You know, it's like a beaver gets in your pond. Are you allowed to, if you're doing damage to your spillway or dam, are you allowed to kill him?
Yeah, right.
Isn't that the way it is?
Yeah.
I think so, to protect your abode. But you know what would happen. First time all you're going to do is shoot at them. They're going to go to the neighbors and land over there,
And come back an hour later.
Yeah, you come back 2 hours later, and they're right back in the same spot. And you go, boy, I tell you what, I didn't ever think. Here we are, the middle of May, end of May, and still have snow geese around the refuge.
That's unbelievable.
Jeez.
That's how many there is in the stratosphere.
It feels more like hunting weather this morning.
Yeah, it does.
Huh?
Yeah.
Nippy.
Yeah.
I went back in the house, got my jacket on this morning. And I walked in here, it was like being in a meat locker. You know, anybody hanging beef in here? Oh, man. So what the hey? Now then, on the cheerier side, my buddies were at Clinton, Jerry Logsdon and JL. They caught walleye like you just couldn't believe how many walleye they caught. And then they were trolling crankbaits, which I won't do. That's not fishing. That's catching.
And there's nothing wrong with catching.
Yeah, to a certain extent. But anyway, that lake is on fire.
Yeah.
Now, this cold front coming through, I'm sure will, you know.
I don't think it's going to affect them too much.
Too much.
Our guest today said that the walleye were on. He said they were catching walleye while they're fishing for crappie.
Yeah. Terry Levendowski.
Toby.
Toby. I don't know why I have that. Terry. Toby. Yes. Toby. Just like my brother. Toby Levendowski. He's with Absolute Fishing Guide Service, and he fishes 5 different lakes in Kansas.
That'll work.
And multi-species. But, yeah, he said that. Brian Andreka, Kansas Angling Experience, he is just catching the heck out of walleye and saugers. A lot of little ones.
Yeah.
But that's good. I mean, he's catching more little ones now than he's ever seen in his life.
That's a good thing.
Is there a legal length limit like a Clinton 15 inches?
I think it's 15. We'll find out from
them. We'll find out.
Yeah, but, yeah, these will probably be legal in the next year or 2 years. But that's good. There's a lot of young recruits out there coming along. So that's always a good thing when you got lots of different year classes out there. So. Things are working good out of Clinton.
Is the hybrid bite on?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
Is it any quality hybrid?
Yes. A lot of lots of them and good size ones. 6, 8, 10 pounds.
Heard of
some 12-pounders getting caught.
Oh, no.
You know, Truman still, as of yesterday, was still 10 foot high. And they're running a lot of water. And they will be for a while. And there's, you know, more rain down there today. So as long as they're running water, that hybrid bite is good. Down below the dam, up on the weir, up around the KK Island area, the flats, any flats or current swept points, a good place to find walleye and hybrids.
Is the spawn on the crappie over?
From what I've heard, yes. I mean, I'm sure there's still some stragglers out there, but, you know, on Truman already, talking to Richard Bowling, a guide out there at Truman, he said that they've moved out to the summertime places out on Main Lake Flats. That's where he's catching them right now, around 14 foot of water. 12 foot deep, but out there on the summer stuff already. I mean, I say already, it's, you know,
it is
we're
May.
Getting toward the end of May.
Yeah, getting close to June.
Yeah, right, so they should be. It's everything was so slow to happen, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah, well, I had 93 one day, I think it was, at the house.
And then, I know, we had 4 days in a row. It was
it was pretty 90. Hot, and then all of a sudden here, I got my jacket back on.
I know, right.
Outside. If you don't like the weather, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Mule Deer Foundation, you know anything about it?
Nope.
Know anything about it?
Nope.
Neither one of you?
I haven't had any mule deer in my backyard forever.
Really?
No.
Back in 1898, they were there.
I was born in 1897.
Oh, you weren't around then. You look like you were there.
I know.
But I've been contacted by the Mule Deer Foundation. And everybody goes, oh, come on. And I said, well... You know, I've never met a white-tailed deer hunter that wouldn't want to kill a big monster mule deer. You know, there's something majestic about them. You know, the big wide horns and their butt's about 3 foot wide. And
they really run cool.
Yeah.
They bounce. Prong,
you know, and then you get in the rhythm to shoot them. You get the jumps with them on the deal. So there is some chapters in Missouri. I believe one, a really active chapter, I think down in Springfield, and one in St. Louis. And they raise a lot of money. And they put $1,800,000 back into habitat last year, the Mule Deer Foundation did.
Wow.
So it's a good organization. I think we'll be seeing one coming to Kansas City. I hope so. You know, so we'll just see what's going on. But if you're out just goofing around today and you Google and get tired and you got your smartphone out, you might want to Google that Mule Deer Foundation. A good organization. Put 88 cents of every dollar they raise goes back into habitat.
Oh, that's great.
On the deal. So pretty interesting. Truman is on fire. Is that correct statement?
Yes.
Okay.
Lots of limits of walleye being caught, hybrids being caught. Just like I said, white bass, crappie have, for the most part, have spawned. You can still find some of the males up there on the bank, but. You know, they're moving away. They're moving back out on the summertime stuff. Summertime stuff being main lake points, flats, out And with this current, they're in specific areas, you know, these current breaks and behind some of the cedars and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good time to be on trimming. I mean, fishing in general is just good.
Everywhere I look.
Yeah, right.
I'm getting posted pictures, people texting me, telling me this, showing me pictures off their smartphone. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think I've – last year was good. You know, it was excellent, I thought. And this might be better.
And it's shaping up that way. We had a little bit of a slow start with it. You know, the water was just so slow to warm up this year. And, boy, now that it has, it's fantastic.
Below the dam at Truman?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, what's going on?
The same thing. I mean, whatever. A lot of hybrids, a lot of whites. There's crappie being caught. That slack water area is good. But it's all because that lake's high and they're running water. Whenever they run water consistently, you can bank on those fish being down there below that dam. They're active. And up top, you know, the weir is really good too. But, you know, it gets to be a social experience for sure.
Not fun.
Yeah, you know, there's other places. You know, it's unbeatable as far as structure goes. You don't get any better than that.
I saw a post yesterday. A guy caught a limit of crappie off the handicap dock.
Is that right?
Below the dam.
Wow.
Man, I'm not surprised.
How deep is it there?
I would say it's probably 8, 10, 12 feet deep.
Is it really? Yeah. I didn't think it was quite
that
deep.
It's got pretty good weed. Yeah, it's got good depth there.
I don't know. I think unbelievable. I just read a report about Lake Superior in the Great Lakes, well, all the Great Lakes, about how the walleye is somewhere between excellent and double excellent.
Really?
And they've cleaned up those lakes. I don't know if you guys are familiar. And they've taken even the old wrecked boats that were on the bottom. They pumped all the fuel out of their old tanks and things like that. And they have really made a concerted effort to clean that water. It's gin clear. And the fish have reacted like crazy. Fishermen have never had such years like that.
Well, that's good news.
So the moral of the story is we'll go to the White Sox game, and then we'll charter a boat and go out fish.
God, that'd be fun.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, God, yeah.
Anybody in on this?
I'm in.
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
Hey, a quick shout-out. If you're down at Warsaw today, Cody Van Atten's got an auction for kids. It's called Hope Outdoors.
Oh, wow.
And they have guides and all kinds of stuff in this auction. And the auction benefits handicapped kids taking them fishing.
Cool.
Really?
So if you're out there, they're actually food's free. It starts at noon, auction's at 2.
Hmm. Wow. Where's it out of?
Cody's Bait Shop at Warsaw, Missouri.
Cool.
He's good guy.
I hear he's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah. What the
heck? He sure works hard.
Now, I've had we're about out of time. I'm going to take this break, but I want to talk about something when we come back in regards to having a party in the parking lot.
We talked about that
a while back on the deal. So we are brought to you by King City Lumber, kingcitylumber.com. Please go to their website. They're the finest building people that I know. First-rate lumber, first-rate carpenters, master carpenters, I might add. If you have not been to their website, again, I will say this. You're the last person on the face of the earth that has not been to their website. King City Lumber, if you're looking for an outbuilding, place for your horsey, your doggy, your Shetland pony, your bass boat, your combine, your tractor, whatever you're looking for, these guys can help you build it. And if you don't see it, they'll help you design it. And when they leave the job, it'll be done and done right. And they will not leave the job until you're 110% satisfied. King, Marty, and Monty Tunks, great humans. Not enough good people like that. Go to kingcitylumber.com. Tell you what, you're listening to... What is the name of the show? Midwest Outdoors?
You got it. You still have a few gray cells left.
I still got a little left.
Yeah.
Well, I went through the 60s,
it 70s. It did some damage, obviously.
Mass quantities of everything, you know. You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors on WHB. We'll be right back with you.
I would have.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The radio shows off the air are better than the ones that are on the air, which we're not very good at anyway, but what the hey, you know. Oh, my goodness. What's the matter with you? Got me off dead center here, which doesn't take much. Hey, we got a new sponsor, and I'm so tickled to have it. Rich Mendenhall up at Four City, Missouri, Four City Bobcats. Remember that, Mark, the Bobcats?
I do, from last week.
Yeah. You don't remember the high school, do you?
No.
Okay. It's tore down. There's old folks home there now. But it was, I remember it. You used to have these sloping steps went up. It was really weird.
Sloping steps.
Yeah, it was weird. Shrag and don't get me going there. Shrag, and this is a spinoff of Sure Grow. Rich bought these three locations, Savannah, Osborne, and Four City, Missouri. And this is big ag community, of course. You know, and this is the time of year you're putting on your fertilizer and your herbicides and whatever it takes to make a buck. But here's the whole deal about these guys. There's three plant managers up there, and between all three plant managers, 115 years of experience. So that makes kind of cool. And you guys that are trying to make a living farming, it's going to be tough, and it's going to get tougher. And we've got a lot of farmers listening to the show, so you better make every acre count. These guys are professionals. They will come in there. They will not I've been using them, 15, 16 years now, something like that. Because I love these guys, and they do a great job. But they will spray, fertilize, stomp, blow up, get rid of your weeds, whatever it takes to get you on the straight and narrow. There's nobody like these guys. They got anhydrous and urea and nitrate. They still have some. So anyway, if you need a guy that you can really, really trust, they also have phosphate, potash, and sulfate. Mark?
Got it all.
There you go. You got it all. But these are the best. I can't say enough good things about Sure Ag. Give them a call at Four City, Missouri. It's 446-3515. That's a 660 or area code. Or Randy over at Savannah, 816-324-3325. Or Jeff at Osborne at 816-675-2203. I can't do this commercial justice, because I believe in these guys 110%. There's nobody like them. And, you know, and we talked last week, Mark, about putting on chemicals. Sometimes the magic works, and sometimes the magic doesn't. Well, if you got a problem, they got a problem, and they're going to make it right.
That's what you need.
Yeah, that's what you got to have. And especially, you know, my goodness, I'm talking about an input of $700 an acre, you know, for corn.
Yeah, oh, gosh.
Terrible. $700.
How can you make a living?
It's not there. Yeah, on the deal. So, you know, you got to make it work. You got to whine about it, or you can make it all work. Maybe every foot of it work. So Sure Ag, Savannah, Osborne, and Four City. Say hello to Rich for me. I can't say enough. I just don't do that commercial. A couple things I wanted to bring up. One, we're going to have a party in the parkway out here. Anybody in on this? Serta said he'd come over to autograph your dog if you bring your dog.
Phil Taunton said, you know, what's an outdoors radio host, said he'd come. He's got some kind of a chicken on a stick or something that he...
A chicken on a stick.
Yeah, something that he's famous for. He said he'd do that. I could do a fish whatever.
I'll buy the beer, because there ain't going to be about three or four people. But, you know, I don't know. You know, fishermen maybe drink more beer than that.
Yeah.
You've got to stay hydrated.
That's right.
Oh, that's what the deal is.
Yes.
Very important.
Another little thing I thought I'd bring. Did you guys watch the Royals the other night when they give away the dinner for George Brett? You auction off the for George Brett, and then you have an auction for go pheasant hunting with Bo Jackson. You have Salvi, you know, gear and stuff that they auction off, and it all goes to, they've raised millions of dollars over the years on the thing. I think... where does that money go? Anyway, it goes to that Royals Foundation thing, and they do such good work with that, and they've raised millions and millions of dollars. When I turned off the TV to go pheasant hunting with Bo Jackson up in Wisconsin, and he was going to come pick you up when you flew in there.
How cool.
It was at $35,500.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's...
What was the George Brett one up to?
20 grand when I turned it off.
Wow.
And so, and the moral, and I don't know what it ended up, I probably should have checked, but the moral of the story is, and this is kind of a little sore spot with me, I don't get mad about much, but when I do, I blow up, but here it is in the Midwest, and the top bid is about hunting, outdoors enthusiast. So what does that say? And the reason I'm telling the story is that the mainstream media, the ABC, CBS, NBC people in this community, have you ever seen them do anything about the great outdoors?
Oh, heck no.
They wouldn't. And here it is.
Never touch
There's
that.
More hunting and fishing sites sold per capita in Kansas City, Missouri, than any other town in the Midwest. And you never hear a fishing report. You never see, other than when somebody accidentally shoots somebody during deer season or turkey season, the accident thing. And it just amazed me. Whoever the producers are of those shows live in this little bubble, and they have I don't think they realize how big a business the outdoor world really is.
No, they can't. Well, they don't understand it.
They don't, do they?
No. And it's too bad, especially when you know how big it is.
Yeah. It's the biggest thing to hit. I mean, this
That's
is it.
That's a good point, man. Yeah.
Why do you think they got two Cabela's here and two Bass Pros?
Yeah, right.
And what's Shields down here?
Uh-huh.
Jesus whiz. Yeah. You know, the millions of dollars of volume. I guess if they became sponsors, they would probably rattle something around on the news about them, but it's always follow the money. True. But here, this whole community, and we've talked about this,
mm-hmm.
and you drive down the street in Blue Springs or Independence or Olathe.
Overland Park.
Yep. And the garage door's up, and what you see? A kayak, fishing rods hanging on the wall.
Absolutely.
You'll see a bird dog in the backyard.
More than not. Yep.
More than not.
Yep.
And why these people can't get in the groove and get some support for the outdoor community, and it's such great stories they could do.
Yeah, that's you're right. I absolutely.
You know, they could go over here to this new hatchery that they're building in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
That would blow people's mind.
Yeah. No, you only see something if there's an accident somewhere.
Yeah, and it's all negative.
Yeah, right.
And it associates back to the ownership of guns, I feel. You know, some of them people are just petrified with guns.
Yeah, true.
I mean, just think everyone's loaded and everyone's going to go off and everybody's going to shoot somebody, you know, on the deal. And it just, you know, they're so far off dead center, it just amazes me that they don't do feature stories about the outdoor world.
Well, I can't argue.
Can you argue? You want to argue?
If you notice anymore, I don't call it the news. They call it entertainment. They don't even call it news anymore. They call it the way they see it.
Yeah.
The owners of these, there's only like three or four owners of all these media groups, and they're pushing an agenda. They're not pushing the news.
No, that's true.
You know, but here in Kansas City, what I'm getting at is that why in the world? I hope somebody from Channel 9 or whatever channel they are here are listening to this morning. I doubt if they are. They would not do that. That's beneath them. But you know, why haven't they got involved with what's really going on in the community?
Yeah.
Why aren't they covering Cody Van Atten down there doing that wonderful
yes.
job? Or
all
the vet groups that we've got around here that are taking vets out for handicapped vets out for hunts and fishing?
Yeah. And why don't they cover Pittman Roberts? The money, every time I shoot a shotgun shells, you know, it goes into a fund to restore habitat.
Yeah, and how much good that hunters and fishermen do.
Yes, you know, the duck stamp money.
Yeah.
The Swan Lake, Fountain Grove, Squaw Creek, or not Squaw Creek anymore, but, you know, why don't they do something? There was 1,300,000 snow geese on Squaw Creek, and it was a sight to behold, you know. Why wouldn't you send a news team up there and take a look at that?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, they need a spanking. That's what they need.
There are people drive from Kansas City up there for the and make it a day trip just to go up and
oh,
look
yeah.
at that.
Yeah.
It's
awesome.
And the Eagles right. and all the stuff. It's just an amazing, right here in your backyard, basically, you know. And why don't they go to Smithville and show all the guides and the fishing trips and the kids fishing and all that stuff? What in the world is? Are they so far off to one side that they can't figure it out?
No, they'd rather talk about, you know, things like COVID and, you know, all of the negative stuff going on in our world.
Yeah, and I saw the other day about potholes. Come on, give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the spring. It's in the Midwest. You're going to have potholes. You know, I mean, golly. You know,
we've dealt with it all our life.
Speaking of dealing with it all your life, how's my good friend Joe Falco doing?
Fantastically. They've got a few boats on hand, but they're in short supply, just like everything else. So if you want one, get down there and talk to them. But Dave Hemme, the head mechanic out there, if you got a problem with your boat, not if, it's when, because you will. If you have a boat and you use it very much, eventually you're going to have a problem with it. But that's the place to take it, Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. They can fix any problem that you've got.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But they're just right on the south side of Belton, the Cass Road exit. They're on the west side of 49 Highway. Good bunch of folks. That's Sportsman's Outfitter Marine. Just love going in there and just, we talk about Reed and the new cars.
Yeah.
You walk in there and there's two of the best smells in the world. New boat smell and new car smell.
Exactly what it is.
I just like going up there and going in the showroom.
It.
Yeah, just
if
to go.
If you ever bottled it, you'd get rich.
Right.
I understand you got a new pet.
New pet?
Yeah, Mark's got a new pet, I heard.
Yeah, it's named Hugh.
Cool. What is it?
Hugh. It's a manatee.
Oh.
Humanity.
This is the joke you guys sent me today, and I said, bad, bad, double bad. Don't do those kind of jokes out here.
You're building it a house, though, right?
It's a...
Humanity.
Well, you know that humanity's endangered.
It's too early in the morning for this kind of nonsense.
Do you know that they're on the verge of going extinct? Had you heard that?
No.
The manatees?
Uh-huh. Because there's no womanatees.
Oh. You can blame this on John Cobble.
Where's that drummer?
It doesn't even deserve that.
Yeah, doesn't deserve it, does it?
Do you know what you call it?
They think it's funny. That's the sickest part about it. These two guys think it's,
Do you know what you call a young manatee?
Manatee?
A boyatee.
A boyatee.
Did you make these up?
Yes, as he's rolling on
like right now?
My granddaughter did that.
Blame that poor little kid. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Speaking of poor little kids, we're brought to you by Reed Chevrolet at I-29 and Frederick Avenue up in St. Joe. Poor Trevin. I just feel so sorry for him. I had a little brief meeting with me the other day. Y'all see the socks he has to wear. He's so down. He's down. Got one pair of red socks left. And it was weird. I walk in there and you got to see these red socks. I don't know why he did that. I walked away from there shaking my head. How many you guys own any Red Sox?
I don't.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of Chiefs fans do.
They had little Christmas trees on them.
Oh.
I think he was down at the laundry bin and there was no socks left, so he just grabbed the pair down out of the bottom, is what I think.
You all got a Dollar Tree there?
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. I
don't
know what it was. But anyway, they got in some new Silverados. They're going, and once they hit the ground, ladies and gentlemen, you better get your name on one because they are gone. And they did get quite a few in last week. They sold them all by sunset.
Wow.
That's how fast they're going. But if you're looking for used, I don't think I've ever been around traveling as much as for quality of used on their lot that I've ever saw. And if you're looking for a 3/4 ton, they even have a ton pickup truck up there.
Wow.
Diesel. Of course, diesel a little expensive right now, but it'll come back. I'm just sure it will. But there's nobody like them. I go up there and just hang out because I always say on air, I like being around successful people. Now, I could do without the Red Sox, but that's okay. He didn't mean anything by it, I'm sure. But I've never been around people laughing and giggling and having fun buying a vehicle. When was the last time you did that? And, here's the deal. And I'm gonna get off my high horse here in just a second. If you don't like the price, tell them about it. There's surely somewhere in there you can meet, on a deal. I've never seen anybody like these guys. They'll do whatever it takes to earn your business, and they mean it from their heart. It's Reed Chevrolet, Frederick Boulevard. They named it after me, I-29, 28 minutes north of KCI. If you drive like you have no common sense, if you drive like Mark Tobin.
Yes.
You don't know I followed you the other day, Tobin, something. Never mind.
Places to go,
man. Go there. But anyway, go see my good friend, Trevin. Donate to his sock fund, please. There's got to be something we can do for that kid. So
I know we got to take a break real quick, but we got a message from Casey. I think it's Canton, C-A-N-T-I-N.
Yeah.
He was watching the Royals game into the 8th inning last night. He said that pheasant hunting trip with Bo Jackson was up to $72,000 at that point.
Does that make my point?
Wow, no kidding. Unbelievable.
Does that make my point? I mean, these people are so out of touch with what's really going on in Kansas City, these producers, these news. I'm sorry to lambast them. It's not that I'm lambasting them. Maybe they just don't know. Maybe they've never been exposed to it.
Yeah.
But They need to do something once a week or twice a week or do a fishing report or do something.
That's cool.
Man. I mean, seven, is that what it brought?
He doesn't know what the final total was. So that was.
I turned it off. It was at 35-5, and I think it was in the seventh or eighth inning.
Yeah, eighth inning, $72,000.
Wow. $72,000 to go pheasant hunting.
Yeah. Wow, crazy.
Crazy deals, isn't it? Oh, well.
That's cool.
You're listening to the Midwest Outdoors. Who's our guest?
Toby Levendusky from Absolute.
What a good handle.
Absolute Fishing Guides.
I like that handle.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with you.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome back to the Midwest Outdoors. I'm Mark Tobin along with Waterfowler Hall of Famer Mr. Fred Ramsey and our good friend and purveyor of our Facebook page, Mr. Greg Thompson. And joining us on the phone, pleasure for me to introduce our guest, Toby Levendusky. He's from Absolute Fishing Guides. Toby, first of all, good morning. Thank you for getting up early and being with us. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, good morning. Good morning. Doing great. Thank you.
Well,
ready to head to Clinton now for a trip.
All right. Well, Toby fishes multiple lakes. He fishes Perry, Clinton, Melvern, Pomona, and Milford, and he fishes for multiple species of fish. So anybody that's a guide, you got to have a passion for fishing. Where in the world, where did your passion from fishing stem from?
Oh, I guess I'd have to say my dad. I mean, honestly, he started fishing. He had me fishing out there when I was real little and fished with him well his whole life and just learned a lot from him. And I, as soon as I got a car, I was fishing all the time. And then as soon as I could get a boat, I had a boat like at 16 and I was out there fishing. So just really have always loved it. So
where did you grow up fishing and what for?
I grew up fishing down by Wichita. I'm from Wichita, Kansas, kind of western Kansas, too. I actually was out by Pratt. I actually graduated from Pratt High School, but like El Dorado, and then back in those days, I was fishing for catfish. Ate a lot of fish growing up, so you kind of fish for catfish year-round down there, and then started targeting walleye, and then, actually, like, my dad would... We'd go to Canada every year, which we still continue. So,
cool.
Like third generation going up there fishing for walleye and northern. But, yeah, mainly down by Wichita and El Dorado. And then when I moved up here 10 years ago, I got real familiar with Perry and then Clinton. And then it just kind of expanded from there. And in the tournament series, of course, is that we fish multiple lakes. So kind of got familiar with all of them. And I like different lakes for different things, you know?
Hey, Toby, we talked yesterday for a while, and you told me an interesting story about how you why you became a guide. Could you tell the listeners, please?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, as my wife, my father-in-law, and my dad, as they got older, and it just kind of reversed. And then I had some friends that wanted to learn how to fish. And before you know it, I'm like taking family and friends out and tying on everything, hooking them up, putting them on fish and having a blast doing it. And I think even my dad once, he's like, you know what, as much as you're working for us, you might as well just go out and do it. You know what you're doing. And I was like, well, never thought about it, but you know what? It's absolutely, absolutely true. So, yeah.
So what's
I kind of go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, and I guess I should throw in there that I do coach basketball, and I've coached varsity boys for a long time in high school, and like 9 years. And I tell my wife all the time, I love basketball, but I actually love fishing more. So, how much better is it? To go out and coach people.
Well, he is Toby Levendusky from Absolute Fishing Guides. What's the best part of being a guide?
You know what? My favorite thing about being a guide is just teaching people. I love watching them be successful and catch fish. I love just explaining a little bit about the species and what you're looking for, when you're looking for it, what colors you use or what baits to use, and how your presentation can change just trying to give them all the knowledge that I can give them in a trip, so that if they go out and they're fishing from the bank or they're fishing from the boat, they have a good idea as to what they're looking for, so that they can hopefully be on fish and catch fish and have a good trip. And I love, my absolute favorite is kids. I mean, I just love it when I have some kids on the boat and I get to put them up front with me and just work with them all day. That's just a blast to me.
Is there a downside to guiding?
Oh.
Good question.
Wow, of course not, right?
Baker's hours and not much cost in it, and huh?
Well, let me put it like this. I've got a trip today. I was up till midnight pouring baits for and fixing a bilge on the boat.
Oh.
Yeah, you're always, it seems like I'm up at the crack of dawn, and on back-to-back trips, I'm home long after dark, so I don't see the family a lot.
That is a rough way to make a living.
You mentioned something new that it's not new. It's been in the last few years that the guides are being asked to do, and it doesn't actually pertain to catching the fish themselves, but you've had more people call and say, would you go out in my boat and teach me how to use my electronics?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of funny, but I remember way back when I got my electronics, and I'm watching hours and hours of YouTube videos and hours trying to dial them in and figure out all their capabilities. And then, you know what, I figured it out as more than enough for what I do. But yeah, and then I'll get multiple calls, and they'll be like, hey, I want to go with you, but I got a strange request. And I'll be like, what's that? Well, could we take my boat and you kind of show me how to use my Garmin Force, how to use my Ultrex, how to use my LiveScope, how do I use Side View? Just teaching them their electronics and how to use them, and that goes right along with kind of what I love to do. I love to teach people and show them how to do things, you know?
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite lake you like to fish?
You know, my absolute favorite lake in Kansas is Milford. It is, it's further away from me, so I don't get out there as much as I'd like to, but, I love Milford. I love hybrid. I love the walleye out there. We fish so much for crappie around here that if I go to Milford, I almost hardly ever fish for crappie unless that's really what the people are wanting to go for, which that lake is, it's just an awesome, huge lake. And I don't think it gets beat down quite as much as Perry and Clinton and, you know.
Well, it's our favorite in the Mark.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'd rather fish Milford than any lake I know of. You know, it's just always something going on at Milford. There's a fish somewhere going to get caught that day. You know, it's a cool lake. Yes. And you're right. There's not near the traffic on it, you know, the people out on the hump. But that's about it, really. Yeah.
You talked about one time you had some clients out and they caught some fish. And when you looked in the live well, there was a little extra.
Oh. Yeah, we're doing a crappie trip and ended up catching a few white bass. This is about 3 weeks ago, I think. So I go pull out their fish, and here's about, I don't know, probably about 10 or 12 crappie fry in there that were all like 1.5 inches long. It's like, wow, I'm catching all these females with eggs, and yet we've got 2-inch fry in here. This is awesome.
Isn't that crazy? And that was a good, I remember you telling me that was about 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
And we were thinking that the fish were just now starting to spawn, you know, because the water was so cool. But they not only had started, they were well underway.
Yeah, exactly. How do you catch them walleye out of Milford? Where do you fish at? I mean, you go down along the dam, or how do you, are you trolling crankbaits, or what are you doing?
Usually it kind of depends on what time of year we're looking for them, but I like to hit the mud flats. with worms or minnows and a bottom bouncer spinner harness. I will pull crankbaits. And there's an old school method that, you know, I know the older generation like me will know what I'm talking about. But sometimes if you're having trouble, if you throw a beetle spin in on with a quarter ounce jig head on the bottom and then try some untraditional walleye colors, you don't have quite as much money running on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that's done fairly well. It's old school, but it works. But yeah, my favorite way is just to pull bottom bouncers and spinner harnesses. And then sometimes if I got young kids and they can't tell the difference between the bottom, we'll just drop quarter ounces and put a twister tail on and drag a worm and a minnow. Or just, like you said, roll crankbaits down and on the mud flats. So
untraditional. Yeah. I like bubblegum colored. What's your untraditional colors you're talking about?
It's a silver pearl and a blue pearl. I mean, to me, traditional walleye colors are, you know, chartreuse green and orange and pink and white. Those four colors for me. But I've got bubblegum in the box, don't get me wrong. But I just noticed it's kind of weird. It's just pulling it along for crappie, and I was using some make my own baits, but I had sparkle blue and silver on, and bam, caught two walleye fishing for crappie on that color. And I was like, huh,
why not?
This is bizarre. Then did it again the next week. So I was like, well, I'd have never thought this color was a walleye favorite, but it's definitely going to be one we put on.
Exactly. We're talking with professional guide Toby Levendusky. He's from Absolute Fishing Guides. Now, fish on several different lakes, Perry, Clinton, Melvern, Pomona, and we already spoke about Milford. But what do each one of those lakes offer that you enjoy? Are they all completely different?
Well, you know, it's the answer is yes and no. I mean, you're going to get a few hybrids up there in Clinton. You know, I think Melvern is a pretty good smallmouth lake and also a pretty good walleye lake. I like Pomona because If you have a family that really just wants to put some fish in the freezer to because they only go out once a year, you know, the limit down there at Pomona is 50 a person.
Wow.
So you can stock up for the year pretty quick at down there.
For crappie?
Clinton I like because, yeah, crappie. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And it's one of the few lakes around left that is still 50. In Kansas, anyway. I think that Clinton is one. Clinton's my favorite tournament lake, but I like Clinton because it's got the island out in the middle. It's got all the standing timber. It's got, so if someone wants to learn Garmin and wants to learn their live scope and go target crappie, I mean, they got trees out in the middle. I mean, it's a perfect teaching lake for that. And it's fun to fish. You want to go get crappie, there's absolutely no reason you shouldn't be able to put what you need in the boat. You know, when I guide, I don't typically put people on the front of the boat to use the live scope because then you got, you know, one or two people sitting back there casting at nothing. We'll just hit brush piles or ledges or structure I've put in. But Clinton's good for that. And their dam is good. Perry's dam's not quite as good. It can be hit or miss. There's not a lot of structure on Perry's dam. I think Pomona's fun. I mean, it's and you know, you got kind of a difference in clarity in waters, so you're dealing with a little bit different situations with all of them, you know?
What species of fish do you fish for?
Me personally, or guiding?
For guiding, yeah.
We'll fish for whatever they want to target. I mean, I don't necessarily go out and target the hybrids unless if I'm going to Milford at Clinton. But I'll definitely go for crappie or walleye. I will do a catfish trip if it's requested, but it's my least favorite.
And that was that was the fish that you grew up on.
Yeah, I get. I don't fish for it personally. I couldn't choke down a catfish now if I had to, but I sure do.
I'm with you. Nasty fish. But, I don't care what anybody says.
Well, I don't know how true it is, but my wife and I, we got five kids, and the boys had some friends over, and this one kiddo comes over, and he says, I can't, because the girl, everyone, all my kids know when they come over, we're eating fish, right? They got friends over. So they already know this. So this mom's like, hey, by the way, this kiddo can't have any catfish. He can have any other fish but catfish. And I'm like, what in the world? You got to be kidding me, right? She's like, no. She's like, he's allergic to iodine. Yeah, we've fed him all the fish, crappie, bass, I don't even know, all the fish. And the one time he even got close to the catfish, he broke out and had to use his EpiPen.
What?
I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Really?
I had no idea.
That's what
I've never heard that.
I've heard that a lot.
No way.
Yeah. That's why you don't eat them out in Missouri River. They glow in the dark, you know.
Huh, that's interesting. Absolute Fishing Guides. How does this work? If somebody wants to book a trip with you, do they typically just contact you and tell you what lake they want to fish for or fish at? How does this work with you?
Okay, well, I want to clarify real quick. You have to add an S on guide. So it's Absolute Fishing Guides. And there's two of us. There's one actually way down south, like in the Gulf or something. And I'll get a phone call asking to fish for some species I've never even heard of.
That's fine. Tell them send a deposit.
And I'm like, well, you got the wrong one. But, yeah, I just put Mayotte on there so everybody can find it, but you can Google it or Facebook it or whatever. But yeah, if you want to go on a trip, the easiest way is just to text my phone or call me. If I'm on the water, I don't traditionally answer the phone. So if you call and leave a message, I will get back to you, but it's going to be once I'm off the water. So, and sometimes if they're eating a snack and whatever, then I'll check my phone. But yeah, just if you just text my phone or the number on there, that's my phone, and I'll text back, and then I'll look at the calendar and we can book it. But yeah, normally you just call, I look at the calendar, we pick a date, time, and then you can send a deposit. I can take that over the phone with a card if that's needed. And then for a lake choice, usually if they have a lake they want to go to for sure, then of course we'll do that. But generally speaking, I'm going to pick between Perry and Clinton and what they want to target and what's fighting better at which lake. So, because it can be different, you know.
What's your phone number?
785-845-6043.
One more time.
Sure. 785-845-6043.
Absolute Fishing Guides with an S.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Link on our Facebook page.
Yeah. Greg has posted that up on our Facebook page, Midwest Outdoors Sports Radio 810 WHB, if you want to go there and get his phone number. Contact Toby.
Yeah. Toby, we're out of radio time. We got about a minute left.
And you need to go make some money. So go make some money and catch some fish.
That's right. We're gonna try and stay dry and put a live well full.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Toby, a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
And
thank you both.
Toby gives me fishing reports on Fridays now.
Oh, cool.
And I thank you for being patient with me and taking time to give us fishing reports.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Toby, thank you.
All right, Toby. You take care.
What? That guy's got it going on, guys.
Yeah.
That's good fishing. You can just tell. He's sharp.
Yeah. He's a nice guy, too.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
And he's right about the electronics. I get so many questions about electronics. People are kind of befuddled about their own electronics,
right.
And they've spent thousands of dollars. And I don't know if Garmin or whoever they're buying or Lowrance or whatever it is, they evidently aren't doing a good enough job teaching the people how to use that product.
No, but you know, and that's a great service to provide, you know, for him to be able to do that for people, because it is, you know, there's a lot to it, and you can watch videos on all that stuff's available, but it gets a little confusing. And boy, if you got somebody that can, you know, wade through all that stuff and teach you the most important things, that, man, that's valuable.
Yeah. Well, everybody I talk to is site imaging. They have a terrible time with site imaging. I don't know why. Don't own one. Don't know. You know, but so everybody I talk to, how do you get the site imaging work? Don't talk to me. You know, I'm the last person you want to talk to, so what the heck? Well, I think I'm going to go do something weird to a small animal somewhere today. So
it feels like that kind of weather.
Yeah. I mean, I'm mad at these snow geese. It's terrible.
Yeah, right.
You know, it costs so much money for input on your corn and have them walk down the row for 20 and 30 yards at a time pulling the roots out.
Yeah.
Boy, you get real mad real quick.
Right.
None of the deal, so what the hey. Well, that wraps it up for another exciting. Did you guys know this show was exciting?
It was.
Exciting adventure of the Midwest Outdoors. Go to Reed Chevrolet, buy a new pickup day. You'll feel better about yourself. What the hey. That wraps it up for this edition of the Midwest Outdoors. Got to go for this week. The next time we see ya, I hope we see you in the great outdoors.
Have a great week. So long, everybody.